Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Coming up today, we have the Joel Peralta trade, the 40-man additions, and the manager search.
This is Rays Radio. Now here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, November 25th, and our fourth This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Remember, if you missed one, they're always on archive at raysbaseball.com/podcast. Or you can subscribe so you automatically receive the newest show. We had plenty of action during the past week. The manager search was reduced to three, with Raul Ibanez, Kevin Cash, and Don Wakamatsu. Before that, the Rays traded Joel Peralta to the Dodgers in a four-player deal, then added six to the 40-man. The newly acquired Jose Dominguez, Matt Andrees, Ryan Brett, Justin O'Connor, Grayson Garvin, and Mikey Matuk. So let's begin there.
It's time to go inside the operating room and take a look at Rays baseball operations.
And our first guest in our latest podcast is Eric Neander, Vice President of Baseball Operations. Obviously, you guys have been very busy. Let's start with the trade with the Dodgers. You moved Joel Peralta, obviously, to someone who's very familiar with him, in Andrew Friedman and now his staff over there. Explain the reason for the trade and some of the pieces you got back.
Yeah, obviously a very familiar trading partner, which was just a very interesting and unique experience. I think the reason a deal like that comes together, Andrew obviously knows our personnel very well. He's getting to know his personnel over there. But this wasn't about one side trying to outsmart the other. I think this is a trade where each organization was at, where they had depth, where they were needing to add depth, where those things lined up. And there was a little bit of an imbalance side to side that permitted this to happen. Joel is someone that has been a tremendous part of what we've accomplished here. Value him greatly, but the need for him over there was greater, and it gave us an opportunity to acquire a couple of guys for our system when, you know, we felt pretty good about our bullpen group unit as is without him. Just a deal that came together for us, made sense, where we got some prospects. We got a hard-throwing right-handed reliever in Jose Dominguez that's been in the triple digits that will be on our 40-man, guy that we think has upside to play into our future. And Greg Harris, a guy, a lower-level starting pitching prospect that we feel has some projection left to come into his frame, and just gives us another starter to fit in our system. So a couple of guys that aren't immediate pieces for our major league team, but guys we have a lot of hope for, and the Dodgers had more immediate needs on their end.
In terms of Dominguez, is there a possibility, though, you're looking at a more long-term, but look, Brad Boxberger, I know, had maybe a little more major league opportunity before he was acquired, but how quickly can a kid like this with that kind of arm be able to help you at the big league level?
Great question. I don't think there's a hard and fast development path, especially for relievers. As we've seen with, you know, Brad, and when he came through and when he busted the door down, his command and the strike throwing came quick. And, you know, there's those moments, those aha type moments with these guys. You don't know when they're going to happen. You just try to pick the guys with the right ingredients and put them with the right coaching that we feel we have that puts them in a position for it to click. I think we'd love nothing more than that for that to happen in April. And if it does, great. If it's longer than that, that's okay. But we feel like the building blocks are in place for him to have one of those Boxberger type moments sometime in the not too distant future.
And the only reason I ask that is you look at Kansas City, which made the World Series, and you saw Herrera, Davis, and Holland, and you look at a hard thrower to go along with Boxberger and McGee, and you know your mind starts to think you could shorten games a lot in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly a lot of power, you know, to the back end of your bullpen if it plays out that way. But, you know, have a lot of confidence in the guys that slot between Dominguez and McGee and Boxberger on our depth chart that could also play into that as well. Probably not the 100-mile-an-hour arm, but guys that can get outs at the necessary clip for us.
You also move forward with Jose Molina and decided to part ways with him, as well as a couple of others potentially, in Cole Figueroa and Michael Cohen. Let's focus on Jose and why that decision was made at this point.
Yeah, Jose has been a huge part of what we've accomplished over the last handful of years here. Ultimately, I think we felt like we just reached a point where between Hanny and seeing what we had with Casale last year and, you know, keeping an open mind to some of the alternatives that are out there, you know, through free agent, through trade right now, we just thought that this was the best path for us moving forward to turn that over. And very thankful for everything that Jose has provided us, but just felt that at this point in time, moving forward, this was going to be the best course of action for us.
And it certainly opened up opportunities for Justin O'Connor, as well as several others who you added to the 40-man. We mentioned Jose Dominguez already. Address the guys, and maybe of that group, who has the chance to more immediately impact the Rays in some way, shape, or form in 2015, and then maybe who has even greater upside for the long haul.
Yeah, I think it's as a group from Justin O'Connor, Ryan Brett, Mikey Matuk, Matt Andreese, Grayson Garvin. These are guys that, in their own unique ways, just aren't that far off from being able to contribute. In no particular order, Matt Andreese is someone that, you know, did a really nice job for us in AAA last year. Sinker baller, keeps the ball on the plate, a lot of ground ball contact. Someone that we think, you know, isn't far off from coming up here and being able to contribute and some way, shape, or form on our pitching staff. Grayson Garvin's probably a step behind him between the limited innings and achieving success only to the AA level at this point. Excited about him, but probably a tick behind in terms of readiness at this point, but you never know how these things break. On the position player side, Mikey Matuk is someone that had a great year last year at AAA, so you'd like to think that he is getting close to that point where, you know, as an opportunity arises, that he can come up and seize that. Ryan Brett had a successful run at AA this past year, someone we think will get to AAA. We've got a, you know, a group of high-quality infield prospects there. He's going to add to that. But, again, someone with a lot of physical ability, foot speed, has some pop, good bat to ball, good game awareness, someone that we think is, you know, again, knocking on the door like all of these guys, I think, are very close. O'Connor is probably the one that, you know, having split last year between high A and double A, is maybe a little bit further off than this group, but someone that physically has things that really get your attention. The arm strength is at the top of the charts. The power, especially from behind the plate, is very loud and is near the top of the charts compared to his peers at the position, and is someone that, as he continues to refine his game back there, we're really, really excited about.
And obviously he's the type of kid you don't want to rush because of his skills and his abilities. But at the same time, what now becomes the bigger priorities for the Rays between now and the start of spring training? You obviously do need to find a catcher, I would think, to supplement Ryan Hannigan and Kurt Casale. What other areas, that and other areas, are you guys looking to help your roster?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have our eyes open, you know, on the catching market to see what's out there, potentially a free agent, potentially through trade. But we also have a lot of confidence in, you know, the guys that we have. In addition to Justin O'Connor, we've talked about Casale, that we've talked about. Luke Maley is someone else that probably shouldn't go unnoticed in this conversation and gives us another potential option down the line here as well that we're also excited about, just focusing on our upper-level catching. We're going to go into it with an open mind. You know, if the right opportunity presents itself to add to that group, we're definitely going to take advantage of that, but we feel really good about the guys that we have internally right now.
And in terms of the other areas of the club, what would be the biggest priorities? Is it on the offensive side? Is it on the pitching side? Is it to add more speed, power? What types of areas do you hope to improve the club?
Well, I think at this point we're thankful for being in a position where we are, you know, we retain the club that we had, you know, last year, and by and large. And, you know, while we only won 77 games last year, you know, there are a lot of things with last year's club that went wrong. This was a group, a unit that months prior, you know, back in April, was considered, you know, much, much more highly than a 77 win team. And we believe that's still the case. We believe that the talent hasn't in this unit hasn't changed that dramatically over the course of several months. So the fact that entire group essentially is returning is something that, you know, we're going to be opportunistic. We're going to keep an open mind to things, but feel really good about the unit we have. And, you know, there's not a whole lot that we're looking to address on top of that group right now.
Well, best of luck. I know you have a lot to do over the next several weeks and months. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us on the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Thanks, Neil. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there as well.
That's Rays Vice President of Baseball Operations, Eric Neander, on our look inside the operating room on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Let's get another look at what happened in the past week.
Time now to head up to the press box.
We continue on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, and now joining us is broadcaster Dave Wills. Dave, I know that you had obviously a very strong friendship with Davey Martinez, and we're hoping that he would get to the finals. We know who did. What was your take when the three names were announced on Friday of Raul Ibanez, Kevin Cash, and Don Wakamatsu?
Well, first of all, as far as Davey Martinez is concerned, again, yes, we developed a friendship not only over the years that he's been here as bench coach under Joe Maddon, but even prior to that when he played with the Chicago White Sox, and I was just starting out with my broadcasting career. In my heart of hearts, I had hoped he would get a shot, but I think in the back of my mind, I knew that it was going to be a long shot simply because of a couple of things. When Andrew moved on to L.A., there was a smooth transition. They handed it right over to Matt Silverman to become president of baseball operations. When Joe left, they didn't quite hand it to Davey right away, and obviously brought in a number of other people to talk to, and you can just kind of see the writing on the wall. With that being said, with the three guys that we have that we're talking to, it's an interesting mix. There's no doubt about it. You've got a guy that has had some managerial experience in Don Wakamatsu, who, you know, again, did some nice things for a little while with the Seattle Mariners and then kind of fell out of favor, maybe with the fact that he had some troubles handling a few of their superstar veterans. But I do recall that when he was manager of the Mariners, even before that, that Joe Maddon really held him in high regard. And then you've got Kevin Cash, who seems to be the darling of the managerial searches here this fall so far, and came very, very close to the Texas Rangers job, and now the Rays are looking at him for their gig. And, you know, I got to know Kevin a little bit back in 2005 when he spent some time with the Rays, and I've seen him around town a few times. He's a Lutz guy, lived up by where I lived, and went to high school at Gaither High School on Dale Mabry. And then obviously saw him a few times while he was scouting, and now he's with the Indians. And, you know, when you're learning under Terry Francona, that's not a bad thing. And then Raul Ibanez is a guy that I would like to have probably seen hitting in the middle of our lineup the last few years, much less now maybe managing our team. So it's going to be interesting. I think, again, we've got a nice mix, a different mix, and it should be kind of interesting to see who Matt Silverman and company pick out of that trio.
And I think it would make sense that if it's Kevin Cash or Raul Ibanez, that you're probably going to have a veteran bench coach alongside to help guide them along a bit.
No doubt about it. And I think even if Don Wakamatsu were to get that gig, I think you know, the one thing that we have learned here over the past few years with Joe Maddon, even before that when Joe was with the L.A. Angels or whatever they were called when he was there, and then even going back into the days of Joe Torre and Don Zimmer, the manager-bench coach combination is a very, very key combination when it comes to putting together a brain trust to help put, you know, plan together when you're playing a baseball game. I mean, I know in the American League it's not maybe as strategized as maybe a National League game, but with that being said, you know, two heads are better than one, as the old saying goes. So I'm really kind of intrigued to see what happens. Is Davey going to stick around even though he didn't get the managerial job? If that doesn't happen, who does become the bench coach and tie things in with whoever becomes the manager? So could it be, I mean, I've kind of wondered about this here over the last couple of days, could it be the two of the three guys that right now are up for the managerial job become the manager and bench coach if David were to move on? So there's a lot of things that are kind of at stake right now, and it's going to be interesting to watch over the next couple of weeks.
Indeed, and probably the most important piece of this is that whoever the manager is has players that he's going to feel comfortable with and players who provide a better roster than last year. And the Rays did make some changes this past week. They traded Joel Peralta. They designated for assignment Jose Molina. Let's start with Joel and his value to the organization and the decide to move him, which had to be awkward, to the Dodgers, where Andrew Friedman now is.
Smoothly awkward, I think, is what they said. you know, again, I think with Joel, we all know what he brought to the clubhouse. You know, it's very unique that a guy that's not a closer, not a starter, not even an everyday player, is one of your leaders in the clubhouse. But Joel was that, especially to some of the Latino players. And he's going to be missed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yes, are his better pitching days behind him? I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think we did see that while he probably isn't a late-inning guy, was a guy that was able to come into hot situations and quiet him down. And now we're going to have to find somebody else to do that. But, you know, again, he moves on to the Dodgers. The Dodgers need some leadership and need some bullpen help. We saw that in the playoffs, and Andrew Friedman knows what he's getting in Joel Peralta. And so we wish him the best. But it also gives the Rays a little roster flexibility and a couple extra $1 million maybe to play around with if they decide to spend that. The other thing is with Jose Molina, you know, again, he did a lot of nice things when it came to, you know, saving strikes, if you will, and being able to work with the young pitching staff and bring them along. And, you know, obviously there's a counting factor behind the plate when you've got a guy like that who can save you a few strikes. But those little pluses didn't outweigh, no pun intended, his minuses. And, you know, again, he was really a nothing at the plate. Even behind the plate, was not very good at blocking. His best throwing days are behind him. And so, you know, again, I think it was addition by subtraction. I mean, that's a big move for the Rays. I mean, you know, to the Red Sox and the Yankees, Dodgers and Cubs, teams like that, $2.5 million, a mess up of that range to $3 million. Now they just pull it out of their pocket and say, all right, well, here, move along. We'll figure it out. For the Rays, that's a pretty big chunk of change. So it's an interesting move by Matt Silverman of the Rays baseball operations. But, Neil, I think you and I and anybody who else is listening to this probably really didn't want to see Jose Molina behind the plate again for the Rays in 2015, and it looks like we're not.
Were you a little bit surprised that they did it this early, that they didn't try and see if there was some type of market out there for him, and then just rather than jettison him and eat the salary this early?
Well, you know, again, I think something had to be done. They need some roster flexibility, obviously. They had some youngsters at the AAA and AA and A-ball that they want to protect in the Rule 5 draft. You know, I think there's still a couple of days left for them to still work out a trade. You got that 10-day window. But, you know, again, it was all about roster flexibility. They needed to get some guys that they really, really wanted to protect onto that 40-man roster. So it probably was done a little bit earlier than they anticipated. But, you know, again, you and I aren't baseball scouts, and I don't want to speak for any baseball scouts that are out there, but I'd be very, very surprised if they're tripping over themselves to call Matt Silverman to see if he can be a catcher. Maybe can he be a backup catcher that catches 25, 30 games a year, 40 games? Maybe. There's that possibility. But in this day and age where you might need one for 80 or 90 games, I think those days are done for Jose.
And you speak of catchers. One of the guys the Rays protected was Justin O'Connor, whom you and I have both heard great things about in terms of the way he throws and the way he handles himself behind the plate.
No doubt about it. I was talking to a scout a couple of days ago who said, well, he never saw Pudge Rodriguez or even Ron Carcavice throw back in the day, but in person, back when they were both throwing the way that they could possibly throw. But he says he finds it hard to believe that they could be any better than what Justin O'Connor displays. Usually the major league average is somewhere in what, the 1.9, the 2 second range from the time you catch it and get rid of it and get it down to second base. They had him clocked a couple times in the 1.6s and consistently at about 1.7. That's spectacular. And, you know, again, I asked some questions of that particular scout. Is he going to be able to hit enough in the big leagues? And he thinks that he can hit better than what Ron Carcavice did, which is a step in the right direction. And I think, again, that combination, finding Buster Posey's and Yadier Molina's and guys like that that are going to hit 300 for you and also then catch and throw the way that they can, those guys are kind of few and far between. I think, again, with the Rays, as we well know, we're all about run prevention. If we can continue Justin O'Connor's progress as far as, you know, again, catching and framing and doing a few things, calling games and improving on that, the arm is going to take care of itself. And then I think hopefully if he can just continue to improve upon his offensive side of things, we know what he can do behind the plate. Now it's a matter of him maybe stepping it up a notch or two next to the plate. And we might see him at Tropicana Field sooner than we anticipated.
Speaking of arms, one guy that I did want to touch on is someone who came back in the Joel Peralta trade, and that's a high-end arm in Jose Dominguez. The Rays did a great job with Brad Boxberger in finding a guy who now is a high-leverage guy for them. Is Dominguez possibly a guy who could fit in that category either next year or beyond?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, again, it's all about being able to throw strikes when you come out of the bullpen. You come into some hot situations, and I don't care if you throw 100 or 103. If you can't throw it over the plate, you're not doing anybody any good. So we've heard some of the stories about him having some control and command issues. I think he also comes, obviously, with some baggage. He's been, you know, nicked up a couple of times, I think, in the Major League Baseball or Minor League Baseball drug program. So, you know, he's got some things to prove, I would hope. And, you know, again, you know you're going to get a shot. That's the one thing when you come here. You know you're going to get a shot, and you're going to get a long look, and you're hoping that, you know, sometime between Jim Hickey and Stan Borowski and, you know, Dewey and whoever else is involved as far as developing this young man, hopefully these guys can, you know, Dick Bosman, get him to where he's throwing strikes, because that's a nice weapon to have. I think, you know, again, we were missing a little bit of that the last even couple years out of that bullpen, Neil. We need some physicality. You need some swings and misses out of that bullpen. We get that from McGee. We got that a bit from Boxberger, but we really didn't get a lot of swings and misses from some of the other guys. So, you know, and if you can get some swings and misses out of your bullpen in hot situations, tough singles, leadoff doubles don't automatically become runs. You can leave them stranded on the bases, and that's what we need.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Should be interesting to see some of the other changes the Rays make over the course of this offseason. We'll be watching them, and we'll be touching base with you. In the meantime, have a great Thanksgiving, my friend.
Neil, same to you, same to your family, and same to the fans out there, and always enjoy talking baseball here in November. Thanks for having me.
That's Dave Wills on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, part of a regular feature with people who know the team inside and out, called From the Press Box. On our next program, we'll take a further look at the manager search and some of the latest hot stove news. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. For more on the Rays this offseason, visit our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com and follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio.